Now, isn't it true that if you hear a testimony, like if Alan would come back with a testimony from Sri Lanka, and he would have had an opportunity to pray for a dead person, and the person rose up, we would say, oh my goodness, what power there was there. Am I right?
Absolutely.
We had missionaries, they're not alive anymore, but we had missionaries from the worship center in Mexico. And they were just the simplest, powerful individuals, but very laid back. And they would minister in churches down there. They lived down there. They would minister in churches, and they would have leadership meetings and teach and preach. One night they were having a service, and this lady comes in. I don't know if I shared this before or not. If you don't remember, then I can say it again. Yeah, I'll do it again anyway. But they were praying for healing. They were had like a healing line, and they were praying for healing for individuals, and they've seen miracles happen. I mean, real miracles. Not just a little headache. Now, I'm not saying the healing of a little headache is not a miracle. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about real documented healings. And so this lady comes in, and she has this little baby, just an infant, in her arms. And she said, would you pray for my baby? So the lady, what was her name? Joyce. Joyce, she takes it in her arms and she realizes the baby's dead. I mean, you can tell, right? She realizes the baby's dead. So what do I do? Well, I said, I'm going to pray. So they pray over this baby and he comes back to life. Now we say that tremendous power, but it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that's on the inside of me.
Yes.
Power, you can talk about the power, like the dynamite power, or you could also say authority, that we would understand what kind of authority we have on the inside of us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm about to preach myself happy. Maybe one of these times we'll go running around the church and preach. I don't know. That's according to the Spirit of God. I mean, what he wants. But notice what it says. So his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And then what did he do? Come on, are you with me? What did he do? He seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now, when you find this phrase, seated at the right hand, that is a statement of authority.
Yes.
I don't know when we see them in heaven if he will be literally sitting on the right side of God. I don't know. And neither do you. But this talks about authority. So Jesus was put in a place of authority in the kingdom of God. Right?
Yes.
That's what it's talking about. At God's right hand, at God's right hand of authority. Far above. Far above. This hawk was this big. The squirrel was this big. But when the squirrel got the authority in the spiritual realm, he is much bigger than the hawk. It's far above. The battle is over. Come on, the battle is over.
Yes.
I'm talking about the battle of authority is over. Because the authority belongs to us. The authority was given to Jesus Christ. Now we still wrestle. But we wrestle from the aspect that we already have authority. When we pray, we should be praying from a position of authority. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
So it says far above. I mean, to me, that's not even close. Far above over what? Over the same things that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yes.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Okay, where are they positioned? far below. We are positioned far above the principalities that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. If we have a revelation or an illumination, whatever you want to call it, on the inside of us, they don't have a chance. There's no reason for us to be afraid. Zero reason for me to be afraid if I understand the power and the authority that God has given to me. So when he comes, if he comes walking through this door right now, if Satan would appear right now, how would we react? First, we'd probably be startled because we see something in the spiritual realm, and people usually get startled in the physical realm. That's why Jesus would say, "Fear not, fear not," when he came through the wall. I mean, suppose Jesus comes through this wall, he would probably say, "Fear not, don't be startled, it's me." If Satan comes, we would be the same way. Say, "What are you doing here? Get out of here. In the name of Jesus." Because we see him defeated. You know the stories of Smith Wigglesworth, don't you? Huh? I'm going to say it again anyway. One time he heard a commotion. This is how the story goes. And I just read the story, so I'm repeating the story, okay? So I might not have all the details right, but it still paints a picture of what I'm talking about. So he was upstairs in his room studying or something, and they didn't have electricity. So he had his lamp, and he heard a commotion downstairs. And he knew nobody was downstairs, because I guess the doors were locked and so forth. I'm assuming this was in London. So he comes down the steps with his, I just picture him coming down the steps with this lamp. Growing up Amish, we had these kerosene lamps, and they were just dim little things. But they would still light up the area where we were. So I picture that's what he had, some kind of lamp, that this was a flame, right? And so he comes down the steps, and Satan is sitting at his kitchen table. How would you react? How do we see ourselves in the place of authority? Do we react in fear? We say, well, it was Satan himself. Makes no difference. So when we see a demonic presence or we sense a demonic presence, do we react in fear? If you come up against a demon possessed person when you're ministering in India, how do I respond? Do I respond in fear? No, we take authority. And the only way I can take authority is because I know what authority has been given to me. And I know the power that is within me is more powerful than anything in the kingdom of darkness. So he comes down the steps and sees that it's the devil sitting at his table. And he says, "Oh, it's just you." And he goes back up the steps and does what he does. I don't know. I just know I hear the story from Smith Wigglesworth. So how do we see him? We are far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, because Jesus was seated in a place of authority that is far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So here, every name that is named. We have authority that's much greater than the name of cancer. We have authority within us that's much greater than any sickness or disease. We have authority above that is much higher than any heart disease, lung disease. Any disease, it's above every name. Jesus was put in a position of authority that every name must bow to his name, including my name, Dan. Including the day will come, it'll include every named person on the earth. Every name. Every name. But every name in the spiritual realm that we deal with. Every name in the physical realm that we deal with. Every name And that authority, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So it says that authority, the authority that was given to Jesus, it says, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and he put all things under his feet, I'm in verse 22, and gave him to be head over all things to the church.
Yes, that's awesome.
Are we the church?
Yes.
Are we the church?
Yes.
So he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. If I am not born again, I'm under the influence and the authority of the evil one. The Bible is very clear about that. Jesus said, your father is the devil. When he talked to the Pharisees and the different ones, he said, if you're not part of the kingdom of God, then your father is the devil. It's still the same today. Because when I'm not giving my allegiance to Jesus Christ, by default, I am giving my allegiance to the enemy, to Satan and all of the kingdom of darkness. I like that. By default. In the computers and stuff, it's always, you know, you go back to what? Default or something? I don't understand all that, but... But really, sometimes people think, well, if I don't make a choice, that's okay. But it's not. Because, like I said, by default, we are in the kingdom of darkness if we don't have our allegiance in the kingdom of light. It can be, it's only one or the other. So he says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Right there it is, what I was just saying. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. I don't have time this morning, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about the lusts of the flesh. Because bad things happen to people sometimes because of the consequences when we follow the lusts of the flesh. Very clear in Romans, very clear, that if I follow after the Spirit, it gives me life. But if I follow after the lusts of the flesh or the works of the flesh, it produces death on the inside of me. That's why even as a believer, we need to make sure that we crucify the flesh. The flesh is one of our enemies.
Absolutely.
Now, I know I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but that's all right. Many times, people think that everything is a demon. And they try to cast everything out of a person that is not godly. Well, it's very clear from Galatians what the works of the flesh are. And when you're praying for somebody, you cannot cast out the works of the flesh. What do I do with the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh, I need to crucify them. I am dead to those things. And the way I become dead to those things is by focusing on the Spirit and the things of God and following and doing those things. Now, I'm not saying that a spirit can't take over a person. I'm not saying that. But usually, when we follow after the lusts of the flesh, it's an open door for the enemy into our lives. But not everybody that has problems with the things of the flesh has a demon. And many times people are not delivered when we cast out a devil. I'm talking about believers now. They're not delivered because you can't cast out the works of the flesh. The way I get rid of the flesh and crucify the flesh is by renewing my mind according to the Word of God or with the Word of God. I come through the charismatic move. And at the end of the charismatic move, there was so much emphasis on demons. And I'm not saying that they're not real. That's not what I'm saying. But so much emphasis on demons, everything was a demon. And I was part of a group that kind of went off. And, you know, they were trying to cast out devils from every Christian that came. They said, you have to go through deliverance, whatever that meant. And so we would stand around and this person would say, well, yeah, I have this problem and I have these thoughts and so forth. Then we try to cast it out. But you have to crucify the flesh. Are you hearing me? And those people, those individuals, many of those individuals would come again and again and again with the same problem. Say, well, cast it out. It came back. No, we need to teach and disciple people that they need to crucify their flesh. If there's demonic activity involved, okay, let's cast it out. But that usually, a lot of times you have to have some repentance from the individual for that to happen. Because somewhere they left it come in, and if you let it there for the long time, it will, and you adhere to it, or you listen to it, or you respond to it in your life, and don't get rid of it, it will grow bigger and bigger in that person's life, where that evil force can have, in a sense, dominion over that person. Are you with me?
Yes.
I know we could talk on that for quite a while. Well, I never went through so-called, what they call deliverance. I said, you show me in the Word of God where what you're doing is scriptural and I'll go through it. And then they accused me. You said you have a demon of pride. Because I would not, this is how far some of this stuff went. I didn't have a demon of pride. I might have had some pride. But that is a work of the flesh. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Anyway, why'd I get off on all that? So far above principalities, so every name must bow to his name. Every name. Oh yeah, I was way down in verse, in chapter 2 already. Among whom also, verse 3, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. That's where we were. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Sometimes the reason that we experience bad things, sometimes the reason is because we simply allow our flesh to control our lives. And we are focused in on the lusts of the flesh rather than thinking on the things of the Spirit. But it's easily remedied. If I take the Word of God, renew my mind, and if I focus on things above, like it says in Colossians, then I won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because I'm thinking on things above. You know, and we have to guard our minds and our hearts in these areas. What I listen to will determine a lot in my life. And nowadays we have young, the kids, like my grandkids, always playing these crazy games. I mean, on phone, whatever it may be. So then we wonder why a person, a young person, just goes out and kills and shoots somebody and doesn't have any remorse. Because these games and these things that are evil, I'm not saying there's not good ones, they desensitize us. They desensitize the young people. And that is, we as parents and grandparents, we need to guard against those things. So what I listen to many times will determine if I'm going to follow my flesh, the lusts of my flesh, or if I'm going to follow after the Spirit of God. I mean, I could go off on a lot of different things. The music we listen to is huge. What I listen to, what I see, what I read, and I allow it and I receive it into my life, that will determine if I am walking in the Spirit or if I follow the lusts of the flesh. Amen. So either say amen or oh me, one or the other. Now look what it says. Verse 3, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God. Oh, I love that phrase. You have it different places throughout the Word of God where it says, it talks about all this bad stuff, and then it says, but God. He's much greater than those things. He's made us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. It's not like we don't already have this within us. It says, I think it's in Colossians, where it says we have to put on the new man. That's what we're talking about. We have to put him on. We have to follow things that will feed the good man. Put off the things of the flesh. Put off the old man. Because he's already in us, the new man. So if I feed the new man, and then he will grow and he will take control of my life, where I can successfully overcome the lusts of the flesh that try to come. It's not if they try to come, it's when. When they try to come. Because there are temptations before us every day. Amen. So he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. It's not by my works. It's by the grace of God. And verse 6, this is what I wanted to get to. Verse 6, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, man. That is shouting ground.
Yes.
Let's read it again, see if anybody shouts. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where is he seated? He's seated in a place of authority. So that means now I am seated with him at the right hand of God in a place of authority.
Yes.
The same authority that every name must bow to.
Yes.
That's why we say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because we know it's because of him. But he's given us that authority. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Because this authority has been given to me, then go and preach and take this authority wherever you go. So where are we seated then? In relation to the principalities, the powers, and the demons and all that.
Far above.
So they have no control in our lives unless we let them have control. Kenneth Copeland said it this way one time. The only reason the devil has a control or power in the earth today is because we let him. He's already defeated. We're the ones that we have to remind him that he's defeated. Because we have the same authority. We understand it's not with our own power. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians and then we'll close with this. Now I maybe had 10 scriptures. I think I got through two. But I like it that way. Because I like when the Spirit of God just brings things out. It's usually along the line of the message. Because we follow him. Now what did I say? Chapter 10. This is the key. This is the key for us to be overcomers. It says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. See, they're judging him. These Corinthians are judging Paul in the things he's doing. It says, well, you must just be following after his flesh. And Paul is addressing that. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, in the physical body and in the physical realm, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Yes.
Now then he goes on and he says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts it against the word of God, the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So every weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal. They will pull down strongholds. They will cast down imaginations or arguments. They will cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. They will help us bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you see a progression, but I take it backwards. This is how the enemy comes, and this is how we yield to the flesh. We have a thought. We have a temptation, a thought. And if we don't take that thought captive, we begin to meditate on it, and then it becomes an imagination. It's much harder to get rid of the imagination than it is the thought, the initial thought. Then if I meditate in it and it becomes imagination, after a while I'm speaking it. It's a stronghold in my life. But we have weapons that are not carnal that can help us take thoughts into captivity, tear down imaginations if it has grown to that point, or it can tear down the stronghold that is in our lives. So I challenge us this morning, well, it's afternoon now, but I challenge us, first of all, let's see the devil and his kingdom in light of the Word of God, of that they are small compared to the authority that we have. The authority that we have can overcome every demon, every evil force, every fleshly thing that is in our lives. And of course, we know that to overcome the flesh, we have to renew our mind, because the battle is in the mind. Like Randy was saying earlier today, his uncle ate a whole pie. His flesh wanted the whole pie. Right?
He ate the whole pie.
But that's what the flesh wants. I want to eat that extra piece. I mean, I smell those hamburgers. I want to eat two or three of them. That's what the flesh wants, right? But we overcome those things by putting the Word of God into our minds. We meditate in the Word of God until our mind agrees with the Spirit and it crucifies the flesh. So why do evil things happen? Number one, the enemy will come and try to destroy your life. And another one we talked about is that our flesh, the decisions we make according to the flesh, many times we bear consequences that are not good. Amen? I don't know, like I said earlier, I preach myself happy, because I know that we have the authority of the Almighty God on the inside of us, and we can take that authority and overcome anything that comes our way. Much more we could say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that this message would be burned into us. Lord, that we would understand the authority that we have. That we understand that we have authority over the evil one, over temptations that come our way. That we have authority, Lord, to be an overcomer and to be victorious in the things that we face in life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm hungry. I don't know about you. I guess I'm yielding a little bit to my flesh because we need to. You know what I mean. I'm talking about the fleshly realm, the worldly realm that would lead us away from God. Amen. Father, we thank you for the food that is prepared for us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this afternoon to just a bunch of guys and maybe some gals getting together, having fellowship, and just doing life together. Thank you for Brad and for Ralph, for all that they do in preparing this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day and have a great week.